Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you. It is Tuesday. You are in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We want to welcome you today to the Refresh radio program. We're going to be talking today out of the book of Revelation, chapter 2. This is going to be the last chapter that we're dealing with about, you know, the things that God wants to teach us. And we want to, I hope that it will share something with you. When I was preparing for the program here, I was like, wow, this is very, very relevant for 2025. And so if I was to put a title on the next two programs, it would be, It Makes a Difference Where You Go to School. I remember when I was in high school, I remember researching a school that a number of my friends went to, and they had a religion department. And I knew that I wanted to be a pastor, that God had called me to be a pastor. And I actually looked into going to that secular school where they had a religious studies department. And I can tell you now that as I look back, I am so thankful that I did not end up going to school there, that instead I went to a place that knew the Word of God, that the Word of God was the foundation. It wasn't a supplemental program, but instead it was the foundation of the entire program. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of days here. I want to say thank you to the folks of Treasure Your Landscape. And when I say that, I really appreciate Dan and Treasure and their team. They are precious to me. They're precious to Merritt Assembly of God. Several years ago, I was looking to have a project done, and Dan came out. We had never met one another in person, and he got out of the car, and I introduced myself, and he said, I know who you are. You're Bob Arthurs from the Refresh radio program. Come to find out, he was listening to the Refresh radio program, and I thank God that we had a project that needed to be done, because I really appreciate Dan and his team. They love Jesus, and they are friends of mine. They've been a licensed and insured family business in Brevard County with 20 years of experience. They offer a full array of products, from artificial putting greens and artificial turf to landscaping services, paver installation, drains and downspouts, outdoor lighting, water features, landscape repair, a full array of products, and they really know what they're doing. They love what they do. They're very skilled at what they do, and they're not looking to drag it out. They're looking to get in, get the job done, and get out of your way so that you can enjoy the vision and the manifestation of what you dreamed that your outside could be. And I will tell you, on a number of projects that they have done for us through the years, they've made it look better than anything that we thought that it could be. Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. They love Jesus, and they are friends of the Refresh radio program. if you're looking to make your outdoor area look better this year, that would be a great resource to consider. 321-749-1432 is how you could reach them. So it matters where you go to school, because there are some people who will teach you how you should live. That was the name of a textbook that I had when I was in college. How should we then live? I still remember the name of the guy who wrote that book, and he ended up passing away. His family ended up surviving him for a long time. His family did not necessarily live the way that his book said they should live. And I really feel bad about that, because the book wasn't wrong. And so there are some people who teach you how you should live, and then there are other people who teach you how you should not live. So you've got Pharaoh, who kept hardening his heart, but God demonstrated his glory and his power through him anyway. And I want to be a person that teaches you how you should live. So we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse number 12. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." So, verse number 17, "Him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." So these are statements that Jesus gives to John on the Isle of Patmos, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and Jesus paid a visit to him and has this vision. And here he says, these things that I say are the person who has a sharp two-edged sword. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. Jesus said, I know your works and I know where you dwell. What Jesus says to this church, by the way, the word angel, which it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos," that's the word messenger. An angel is a messenger. So I am a messenger here on the radio program. I'm a messenger in my pulpit, and I'm a messenger everywhere I go. I'm an ambassador for Christ. My message is not what I think you should hear. It is really supposed to be, what does God want you to hear? And so this is a message to the pastor of the church and the church there. And he says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. And I know where you live. And there's this four-word addendum there. It says, where Satan's throne is. In other words, he said, you are living in a very spiritually dynamic war zone. You've invaded Satan's territory. He's not happy. And you're not far away from the battlefront. You are right there at the battlefront. And, you know, whenever I think of that, I think of a story I heard about a battle that was raging, and it was very intense. And there was this young soldier, and he said, you know what, I'm getting out of here. And as he was running away, he ran into a commanding officer, and he said, soldier, where are you going? He said, the battle is very intense, and I was getting away from the front because it's not going well. And the commanding officer said, you need to turn around. You need to run back to that battle zone. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, I'm issuing you an order to do it. And he said, I'm still not going. He said, son, I'm the general. You are going to follow orders, and you are going to return to the battlefront. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, general. I didn't realize how far away from the battlefront I had gotten to be able to run into a general. I want you to know that Jesus does not send us to the battlefront alone. He's right there with us. Where other people are commanding from a distance, Jesus is leading the charge. And so if you're the place where you're dwelling right now is going through a spiritual war zone, I want you to look up a few words and remind yourself that the one you serve is the one who has a double-edged sword. He cuts coming and going. There's a leading edge and a trailing edge. His sword is quick, it's powerful, it is effective. And so remind yourself of who leads the charge. And all we've got to do is stay with him. He says, I know that you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. So there, the Bible is filled with people who gave their life for the truth of God's word. The society that they went and preached rejected the message and rejected the messenger and eliminated the messenger. The ultimate rejection of God's messenger is celebrated this week. Someone said there was only one perfect man that ever lived, and the world killed him. But death could not hold him. His name is Jesus. So Jesus preached truth when truth was a despised commodity. Jesus was light even in the darkness, and he is life even in the midst of people who are held captive and are dead in their trespasses and sins. So remain faithful even when things are going what would seem to be in the path of defeat. Continue to keep your eyes on Jesus, because the blood of the martyrs still has a very active voice in the presence of the King, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Verse number 14, after all of those things that he said, commending the church, he said, but I have a few things against you. You know, when I'm on the radio here, I really want it to be more of us having a conversation where we're not just talking about the theory of the word or, you know, the abstract things of the words. How does this make a difference in my life? The goal of the Refresh radio program is to refresh others so that we ourselves can be refreshed. And so when it says, but I have a few things against you, first of all, I will tell you that when Jesus says that there's something wrong in a person's life, he's never wrong. I had a doctor that I had one time who had sent me for some test, and the test came back, and then when they actually did the surgery, it came back something different, and we were having that discussion, and he said, you know, that's why we call them MRIs instead of MRIs. And what he was saying was that sometimes the diagnostic tools that we have are not necessarily accurate 100% of the time. When it comes to spiritual diagnostic tests, Jesus and the Word are never wrong. Many people would like to discredit the Word of God. It's not because they hate the Word, but they hate that the Word is exposing things that are going on in their life. I have a few things against you. I wonder, you know, what our prayer life would look like if we said, God, search me, try me, see if there be any unclean thing in me. God, is there anything in me that is unclean or that you have against me that you would like for me to address, that you would like to deal with? My take on the book of Job is a little different than what many people look at it as. I look at the book of Job and I see that God knew that there was something in Job's heart that Job did not even realize was in Job's heart. And it's obvious that the devil didn't really realize what was going on in Job's heart. Do you realize that the book of Job started with God complimenting Job? Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I've tried everything that I could do to attack him. And, you know, here's what I think. If you let me touch his stuff, if you let me touch his family, I think I can get him to deny you. And he said, God said, no, you won't be successful with that. And he wasn't. Well, skin for skin, if you let me touch him physically, I think that I can get him to deny you. And Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. But there was an area in Job's life where he thought he was more righteous than God. And that was a problem. And Job asked a bunch of questions, and finally God had heard enough of the questions. He said, I've got some questions of my own, and you're going to answer me. And Job, at the end of that, said, I spoke, but I did not understand. I will not make this mistake again. None of us like correction, but correction is absolutely essential. It's not because God hates us that he corrects us. It's because that he loves us. It's best if that correction happens in private, in one-on-one. Whenever it becomes a public testimony, all of a sudden, people don't like that at all. I've seen, I was in a place of business one time where a manager was publicly and loudly correcting an employee over something trivial and insignificant, and berating them. And I said, this is not the way that that is supposed to take place. There are a lot of people, and here's what we know about people who listen to Christian radio. A lot of times they're Christians. A lot of times they're not. a lot of times there were people who used to be active in church and they are no longer active in church. And one of the things that I've discovered as a pastor is that sometimes there are people who get out of the habit of coming to church, and then everybody has noticed for so long that then it gets to a point that they're too embarrassed and they don't necessarily come back because they're embarrassed about it, or they just get out of the habit so much that they think that they don't need to be in church. I will tell you, church is not a punishment. Attending church is a privilege. And so a lot of times people can point out faults in other people and not necessarily be self-reflective as to if there's anything wrong with them. I've dealt a lot with, you know, parents whose children made some decisions that they didn't, that were not godly decisions and weren't great decisions. And one of the things that I have discovered is that great parents, one of the things that they will do is they will ask themselves, what did I do wrong? And sometimes the answer is that it wasn't necessarily anything that we did wrong. It's that children grow up and they become adults and they make decisions. Sometimes there is a lot of things that parents have done wrong. And if that's the case, I want to encourage you as a parent with these some of the most powerful words that you could ever say to your child, and that is this: I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And I don't mean to say those words in a trivial manner or a light manner, but mean them. Because if you own your shortcomings, if you say, you know what, Jesus convicted me of this, and I just want to ask you to forgive me because I was wrong, then all of a sudden people will see that repenting is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. So probably one of the best things that could happen is for us to be open to anything that God has against us. Well, what are some of those things here for the church in Pergamos here? And the first one is this: because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So, while you have many people who are teaching to get others on the straight and narrow path, you have other spiritual voices. Balaam was considered a seer, S-E-E-R, one who had spiritual insight, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But instead of teaching the way to get along with God's people, Balaam was hired to try and curse God's people. And God used a donkey to make sure that Balaam did not do anything as far as his verbal decrees over God's people, that, you know, he didn't overstep his bounds. So Balaam was offered a lot of money. You can read this in the book of Numbers. Balak hired him to curse God's people, and Balaam said, I cannot curse that which God has blessed. And I will tell you, in Proverbs it says, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. And so Balaam was hired to try and attack God's people from a spiritual perspective, and Balaam was prevented from doing that. And so you can read about the donkey speaking and things like that, and how Balaam was very careful with that. Well, immediately after that, Balaam, when he realizes that he cannot curse God's people, which was going to make him rich, he taught Balak, the king that had hired him, he said, "I can't do it from a spiritual perspective, but I can teach you how to put a stumbling block in front of God's people. I'm here to tell you that it matters where you go to church. It matters what spiritual voices you listen to. God is looking to put us on the straight and the narrow pathway. He is looking to fill in the pits." There's actually a curse that was reserved for a person who dug a pit that was designed to cause another person who was not aware of the pit to fall into the pit. And so the responsibility or the curse was, if you've dug a pit for a blind person to fall into the pit, you're going to fall into this pit yourself. Balaam ended up dying in battle because he taught Balak to put a stumbling block in front of God's people. And there were people who died because of it. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 25. But I would ask you to do a little analysis of the road ahead. Are there any stumbling blocks in front of you? Recently, I was getting ready to go to bed at night, and I'm the guy that goes around and turns all of the lights out and makes sure that the thermostat is set and the doors are locked and all of that. And I noticed that the garage light was on. And so I headed over. All the other lights were out. That's how come I knew that light was on. I could see just a little bit of a glow. So I headed over to the light switch, and I was going to turn that light out. And all of a sudden, I stumbled over a basket that I knew was there, but I forgot for a moment that it was there. And I kicked it with my toe. It felt like I'd kicked the corner of the bed frame. And I said, "I'm going to remember where that's at. I'm going to take a different path." I pray today that you would let God put you on a path where you will not stumble, you will not fall. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realtor.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.